Hello and welcome to the Talk Tonight podcast. And today I'm joined with Luke from Sky Fever. How are you, Matt?
I'm good, man. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm brilliant, brilliant. So you may recognise the band. We featured Is This The End Of The World on last week's Tunes Of The Week. It's absolutely cracking song. And joined with the lead singer just to talk about the album, the band, and just everything. So Luke, first thing I'm going to ask, how did the band come about? Where did you start?
Well, I'm the singer of the band 4 years now, and Tyson, the guitar player, formed the band about 6 years ago. And there's been a few changing lineups since then, but I used to work in a music shop here back in Dublin, and I knew Dan, the bass player at the moment. We were looking for a new bass player, so I got Dan in the band. And then on the day our old drummer left, there was another guy I knew from that came into the music shop I worked in, Carl, the drummer. But we were looking for a drummer that day, and the rehearsal studio that we actually rehearsed in, I hadn't seen him for like 2 years maybe. He was behind the counter. I was like, shit, Carl, do you want to be in the band? Like, yeah, okay. So that was cool, you know. So, yeah.
So just as easy as that, it was put together. So
yeah, just kind of all came together, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. So your album, Is This The End Of The World, came out recently. What was your process behind the album? Like, has it been a progression of the past 4 years, or has it been quite a quick process?
For the album, a lot of those songs were actually they would have been written over the past year.
Right,
okay. So it was just kind of a collection of songs that we had. The title track is This The End Of The World, we wrote back in November. And then obviously when this virus stuff happened, we said, we have to call the album Is This The End Of The World.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, but it was it's a collection of songs that we've been writing over the past year and a half or so.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff. So what is your process when writing a song? Is it like the whole band write it, or is it just like you put down the lyrics and then you come together, you add the bass, guitars, drums? Is it a collective?
Yeah, it's very collective. Each song is kind of created differently. You know, for instance, I could write a song at home and have it written and just bring it to the guys and we'll just write around it. Or one of the guitar players would just have a guitar lick and, you know, we'll just write a song out of that. So everyone contributes 100% to the songs. So, but yeah, we're blessed because it's funny, we're always writing songs. Even after rehearsal, we'll run through the set or something and we're trying to leave to go home and we're packing up our gear and somebody plays something and we get the guitars back out and say, oh shit, that's cool. And then we write a song. So yeah.
That's amazing.
So it comes from everywhere, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's probably the best way for it to be honest.
Yeah. Natural. Yeah exactly. Yeah.
So obviously you've played gigs, that's a given. What's the best gig you've played?
Well, for me, it would be when we supported the drummer from AC/DC in Dublin, Chris Slade. He was doing, he was on the album Thunderstruck for AC/DC, and he was doing a world tour, and we got a support slot. So
amazing.
A really big venue here in Dublin, and that was an experience. Yeah, I'd say that was definitely the best gig.
Yeah,
really cool guy too.
How many people were there?
That gig, I was over 1,500, I think.
Bloody hell!
I couldn't give a figure, but it was a big gig. Yeah, it was good.
What paid for? Yeah. So, have you got any plans for upcoming gigs? Obviously, current ongoing situation makes it a bit difficult, but.
Exactly. Like we haven't even looked into it. We're doing a lot of recording. Obviously, we just finished our big project. Is This The End Of The World? So we're still promoting that and things like that. But in terms of concerts and gigs, we don't know what's going to happen.
Have you managed to play any of the new songs live yet?
Some of the tracks on the album we've had in our set for the past year and a half or so, yeah.
Oh, well, at least to have been in the public eye, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But we're dying to gig, but we don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen, so.
And well, I mean, you say that. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the music news. All these driving gigs have been cancelled today. I don't know where you...
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
So there was some big bands like the Snuts, the Claws. They were supposed to... The Snuts had a massive... I don't know what the word is, like... Tour. Yeah, tour. Yeah. They had a tour. They had loads of... They had loads of venues booked. Probably about 20, I would say. And they've all been cancelled. I don't know what your stance is on the driving gigs. I don't know if you thought it was a good idea or not, but it's disappointing that they've been cancelled.
I think it's a great idea. But it's just a case of we're in limbo, really, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of public gatherings and things like that, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen. I don't see gigs happening till next year.
No.
You know, particularly in the UK.
I'm due to see DMAs in October.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No, I don't think so, man. Yeah.
I mean, Blossoms was supposed to be on tour in March or April. And that got postponed to October. And it's been forever postponed to next year.
Yeah.
I can see all the gigs doing the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, as someone who goes to gigs quite regularly, it's really disappointing because, you know.
I know. It's really, I had a ticket to go and see Rammstein in Belfast. I was really looking forward to it, but that's being cancelled till next year now. So what can you do?
No, it's disappointing. Yeah. So obviously, you go to gigs quite a lot. Who are your influences?
Well, I'm 27 now. So when I was, my mother took me to see. my mom took me to see Metallica when I was 7 years old.
Bloody hell! For a 7 year old.
So 7 year old me was hooked on Metallica. So they'd be, you know, a big influence in my musical upbringing. And for sure, bands like Oasis would be a huge influence. Oasis, U2, Metallica. Personally, I'd be big into the grunge scene as well, like Soundgarden, Chris Cornell, bands like that. But if I was to pick two, it would be Oasis and Metallica, which really influenced me. And I know some of the guys, definitely Oasis as well in the band.
Yeah, I think Spurt Tyson, he was telling me about how Talk Tonight is one of his favourite songs of all time.
Yeah. He loves them, yeah.
I mean, Oasis and Metallica are quite contrasting bands, you could say, I mean.
They are. Yeah, but, if, you know, if something's good, I'll listen to it.
obviously, Talk Tonight is influenced by the Oasis song. So what's your favourite Oasis song?
Wow. I wasn't expecting that one. Jesus. Favourite Oasis song. If I was to pick one out of my head straight away, I would say, oh man, you got me here. How do you pronounce it? Acquiesce?
Acquiesce, yeah.
Acquiesce, that's the one, yeah.
That's a good decision.
You can't really go wrong.
I mean, you could say pretty much any Oasis song and people be like, that is a good song.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. They just bang out hits. That's all they do. Yeah.
For me personally, I've got to say whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen it live now. Liam Gallagher played it. And I just feel like that is just Oasis' best song. I mean, I've always been a bigger fan of, like, you know, the strings and the whole orchestra aspect behind a band. And I just feel like that brings out the best in bands. I mean, I don't know if you listen to The Last Shadow Puppets.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're very much like what's Alex Turner from Arctic Monkeys and Miles Kane with a band, and they've got like a massive string section.
And okay.
I just feel like it gives you more creative freedom rather than just being like a four or five piece rock band.
It definitely brings a new flavor to the band, or you know, like recently, like if you listen to our album, we definitely incorporated a lot of synth work and stuff like that to the album, and it really does. As you said, it opens it up, and it makes you not sound just like any other rock band.
Yeah.
Because
that era has come and gone. I feel like it was like early 2000s. There was that era of just rock band after rock band. Yeah, you had Kaiser, yeah. You had Razor, like just bands like that. And now you're having to do something different. And obviously,
that's it. I wouldn't say rock and roll has run its course by any means, but it's going to come back in a different form.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what a massive band at the moment is Idols. I don't know if you listen to Idols.
I've heard of Idols.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of bringing back that punk era of rock and roll, the heaviest sound. Mm. And it's an exciting time, I imagine, for yourself to be in music because there's so much going on.
Yeah, there is so much going on, you know. And we're really proud with the album that we released. You know, we feel it's different.
Definitely. You know,
we're really proud of it.
Yeah. I mean, it is something to be proud of because not every band could release an album and it'd be good. which yours is.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to hear that.
And I said to you just quick before the podcast that Is This the End of the World? That track in particular is massive. Which it is, and that's why obviously we feature you on Tunes of the Week, because especially in, like you said, the world as it is at the moment, it's just quite ironic, let's call that.
It's very ironic, yeah. Like I said, we wrote the track, and I think it was last winter anyway, like November, and then this happened. And we had that track, and we said, we got to call this album Is This the End of the World? But,
So what are the future plans for yourself?
And future for plans, because of the current situation, like we did plan to tour gig, but we can't.
Nah.
So we're just going to focus our energy at the moment on promoting the album.
Yeah.
We're already back in the studio. We're working on a lot of new songs already. The machine never stops. I'll put it that way. The Sky Fever machine never stops. So,
I mean, recently I've been noticing you've been getting a lot of radio plays, a lot of international attention as well. Like, it's not just been Ireland, UK, like America.
No, particularly in America, yeah. We're getting quite a lot of radio play there, yeah.
Have you any idea why?
Well, we graft. We work our asses off. I don't know. We had a few contacts in the States from radio stations that played us before. I mean, Alice Cooper, he played us on his radio station a couple of years back.
Very nice.
So we had a few contacts, but just since the album was released, I don't know. Word seems to be getting around America between the stations, and we're getting a lot of radio play.
Have you ever played it?
We've never been. We were invited. But then again, this thing, the virus, you know, what can we do?
I know what you mean.
We were meant to go to Carolina to play a few gigs there. And we'll get there. We will get there.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
100% we'll get there.
Yeah. So I suppose this kind of leads on. Where do you see the band in 10 years?
In 10 years.
10 years. Oh, wait. This is my favorite question. I got to ask every band.
Yeah. Ah, okay, right. Well, I see us playing stadiums. I see us playing stadiums, making albums, touring, working hard.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to win to that level. Otherwise, what is the point? If you're not aiming, there's no point doing it. No. A lot of respect for that. And, you know, all you need is that one stroke look, that one person see you. I mean, look what happened to Oasis. that one person.
That's it. Well, I was just about to quote Oasis. You got to make it happen.
you do.
In some cases, it is just a stroke of luck. But I think you have a bloody good chance if you work your ass off as well.
Yeah.
You have a way bigger chance if you just keep working.
So, you know, and
you have that goal in mind.
Yeah. So obviously you've been in the band, did you say 4 years?
I'm the singer of the band for 4 years.
Yeah. 4 years. So all the members, as they are now, have been together 4 years.
No, we have a new guitar. Excuse me. We have a new guitarist, Matt. He's in the band 6 months.
All right. Okay.
Dan and Carl, the drummer and the bassist, 3 years. I'm there 4 years, and Tyson's there 6 years.
Okay. Had you had any experience with other bands before Sky Fever?
Yeah, I mean, I played in a lot of cover bands. I played here in Dublin since I was about 14, 15. I've been in Metallica cover bands, Rolling Stones cover bands, just gigging around, you know, nothing too serious. Just earning a few quid and playing rock and roll, you know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of the bands that we're speaking to, like they're younger. I'm not being rude, but they're starting at like the age of like 16, 17. Obviously, you're 27, I think you said.
27, yeah.
So, I mean, is it like, are you targeting a different demographic? Or are you just, what's like your target audience?
Okay, well, originally, with our, say for instance, our social media plans, our marketing, running ads, originally we thought our targets would have been 25 up.
Yeah.
But since we released this album, we were absolutely shocked. Our target audience, well, not our target audience, our audience is probably, I'd say, 16 to 21.
Yeah. I just found stuff like this interesting because
it is interesting. But like, we're delighted, absolutely delighted. But most of the people following us on Instagram and liking our posts and sharing our posts are between 16 and 21 years old. Yeah.
Do you feel that's because of your platform on social media? You've got quite a few followers. So do you feel like that's your main platform?
It is at the moment because we're not gigging.
Yeah. Well, of course, but
that's my answer to that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can only see you going one way, and that's up. Because, like you said, you work hard.
We work day and night. It's the only way to achieve results in anything in life, in anything. You can't just sit in your back and expect somebody to give it to you.
Yeah.
You know. And then one day wonder why it didn't happen, you know?
Mm. Yeah, because you're like, why it didn't happen when you did nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. I wonder where I went wrong, you know.
I'm gonna throw a bit of a curveball at you right now.
Okay.
If you were let's say, trapped on a deserted island.
Right.
What's the one album you would take with you?
Well, this is probably going to take up about 5 minutes of recording time just waiting for me to think. Could it be the best of Metallica? Yeah, probably a Metallica album, something like the Black Album or something like that. Yeah.
Any particular reason?
I grew up with it.
Yeah.
I grew up with it, and every time I listen to it, it's like I'm listening to it the very first time. Every time I listen to it.
That's what for me, I mean, this question, I feel like my answer always changes. It does just depend on what you're listening to at the time, but one album I always go back to is The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust. David Bowie.
David. Yeah, yeah.
For me, David Bowie is a genius.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely was. Yeah.
Some of the stuff he said. I mean, I don't know if you're a huge fan or if you're a fan at all.
I wouldn't be a huge fan, but I would be a fan, yeah.
But I feel like even people who aren't fans of his music just appreciate him for what he was.
Yeah,
yeah. What he did for music. And,
yeah.
I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but I've got to tell you, I watched a documentary on the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Right.
And I didn't realise the impact David Bowie had on it.
Mm.
Because obviously, you know Heroes.
Yeah.
That song is based on what he witnessed when he lived in Germany. People trying to get over the wall and stuff. And he played a concert in Germany. And he played it really close to the Berlin Wall. So that people on the east side of Berlin could also hear it.
Really?
And that is one of the main things. Because in the east side, rock music was considered like evil.
That's right. You had to steal records to go across to the east side, and smuggle is the word I'm looking for. Yeah,
he played close, and people on the east side, that sparked a revolution. And I don't think a lot of people know these little things what David Bowie did.
No,
he's an important man.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to go on, but
no, it's good.
A lot of respect, my man. So, just trying to think a couple more questions.
Well, now you have me thinking about that desert island question. I want to bring all the albums.
we play another game as well. It's headline, support, reject. So this is right. Where I give you three bands. It's essentially right. Snog, marry, avoid, but music edition. So I'll give you three bands, and you decide who would headline the show, who would support, and who you have to reject.
All right. So, cool. Go for it.
From what you've told me, I'm going to give you the three bands of Metallica, Oasis, and U2.
Oh God, I might be shot for this answer. I think I'd actually have to say, so what was it again? Headline. Support and reject.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, Metallica headline, Oasis support, U2 reject.
I can feel the people flocking to you right now.
Oh, they're going to kill me in Ireland for that. They're going to kill me.
To be honest, I'd probably have it Oasis, headline, Metallica, and U2 at the bottom again.
Yeah. No, I love U2's music, but just out of those three.
Yeah. Gotta be.
Yeah.
Well, Luke, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
You too, man. You too.
So you can stream Sky Fever in the links below. Is This the End of the World out now? And it's well worth a listen. Trust me, well worth a listen. So, Luke, again, thank you. And thanks for watching. Cheers.
Thank you very much, man. Cheers. Thank you.